You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi there, and welcome to Scout the Game Week. Scout the Game Week is Fantasy Football Scouts' weekly podcast brought to you by the Scout Network. In each episode, we'll look back at the game week we have just played to assess what we can learn to help us in the next round of fixtures. I'm your host, Ryan from Football Chatbox. Let's scout the game week. This week, I'm joined by Joe from Fantasy Football Scout to discuss the upcoming Double Game Week 28. How are you doing, Joe? And how's your season going so far?
I'm fine, thanks. And thanks for having me on the show. How's the season going so far? Pretty good, I think. I'm 50K at the moment. So I'm aiming for, this is a bit of a flex, my ninth top 10K finish. I'll take significantly less than that. I'll take 75K finish. That's my aim, top 75K. Because over my 14 seasons, if you take your average percentage finish each year and then transfer that to how many people are playing that year, so in this case 10 million or something, then that you get your sort of realistic finishing place based on your career so far. And so for me, basically that's about 75K, and so I'll take that quite happily. Anything less than that, then I haven't been achieving my career optimum.
Fair enough. I mean, you've got like an amazing track record as well as a manager. Like, I remember you had like a successive row of like top 100Ks as well.
Yeah.
To be honest, to do that now as well, is not as easy with so many managers and a lot more engaged as well because of the amount of content that's out there.
Yeah, that's it. I had right up until not last year, the year before, I'd only got top 100K finishes and I was perilously close to not. And then finally that season, so it must be 2022, I came 101K. I think I was literally like 1,000 outside. So I'm a top 101K manager. And but last year, luckily, back in the top 10K.
Fair enough. And this season, we're looking to probably get you there again in the same situation.
Hopefully. Fingers crossed.
Yep. And I guess this game week will also have some cost towards like getting there. But we'll get to first your chip plan. And I'll bring up your current bus team as well, just for the viewers to kind of get an idea and those listening on the audio as well. I'll just read it out right now. So you got Areola in goal, Gabriel, Van Dijk, Doughty, KDB, Foden, Saka, Palmer, Haaland, Solanke, Watkins. And on the bench, you got Kelleher, Garnacho, Anderson, and Estupinan. Now, you did mention to me that you had some plans for a few moves. Talk me through it and like, what's your chip plan going forward as well?
Right. Well, I'm sort of planning up to what I know. So what we know is that there's going to be a double game week in game week 35, but we don't know who it's going to be. It's possible it'll be teams like Manchester United, Newcastle, Bournemouth, even Crystal Palace. So it's not teams you really want to really go to town on, but it wouldn't be nice to have them. So my strategy's I'm looking at, well, I start off with this week. I've got a couple of double game weekers. I'm happy to get another one. I don't really want to particularly load up on Bournemouth and Luton because, you know, there's Bournemouth and Luton. So I'm looking at getting through this game week with a couple of transfers only. I'm looking to get Son in, actually. He's not got a double game week, but he's a player that I think is going to be advantageous afterwards. And also, I like him against Aston Villa because he's playing against a high line. He had a hat trick of disallowed goals in the last time they met. So I'm hoping that he can beat the offside trap this time around. So apologies, Villa fans there. So that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking at that move there. So KDB to Son, and then Van Dijk, who I don't particularly want to play against Man City. I'm gonna downgrade to a Bournemouth defender. So we'll probably come to Bournemouth picks in a bit. And that will not only get me a double game week player and Son, who's good, but also it's going to free up money. And so as part of my plan is I'm going to free hit in game week 29. I'm very badly set up for game week 29. So for me, it just works out that way. And then from game week 20, so I've got Areola, Watkins, Doughty, and I'll have Son. So I'll have four. So I could get five with no hits. Anything more is hits. So it's not looking good there. So I'll free hit then. Don't have to worry about 29. Game week 30, I emerge resplendent with still with a lot of key players like Son, Money in the Bank, Haaland, Saka, etc. I've got a lot of the big players. And that Van Dijk KDB money, I'm going to then use to get Salah in. And so then I'll go into that with Salah. And Salah's got some great fixtures with them. So Salah back in training this week. Whenever this goes out, we might know a bit more about whether he'll start in Europe this week or play. But he's got Brighton at home. I captained him at the reverse fixture of this earlier in the season. And when a lot of people went Son against Luton, so Son didn't do so well, Salah absolutely hauled against my team, Brighton. So it's one of these games where you have to sort of separate FPL and real life and think, well, you know, I hope my captain does well, but I sort of hope they lose as well. So I hope, you know, my ideal is Brighton to beat Liverpool 4-3 following Salah's hat-trick. That's my ideal. And anyway, so Salah's then got Sheffield United in game week 31. So he's really captainable both of those days. So, and I want to keep Haaland as well. So it's going to be Foden who'll probably make way. And I think he might have been gone for a lot of other teams anyway. And then I'm just going to sort of use transfers to get to 34. And I've got a policy at the moment of sort of not putting all my eggs in one basket. So, I mean, looking at my team. So I've got a Crystal Palace defender. I've got Garnacho. I've got Palmer. I've got Saka and Gabriel, but I haven't got a third Arsenal. And it's that, and that's what I'm trying to do. I'm having a little bit of each pie and then hoping, you know, that will help in game week 34. So I think, say, for example, Manchester United get a double, Garnacho will be popular. So maybe if Palace double them, though, I'd probably want Eze. Newcastle double, probably want Isak. So these are really easy to get. So I think I can do that with transfers. And then game week 35, because probably my game week 34 side is going to look like an absolute dog's dinner. So game week 35, I want to move away from that. That's when I'll use my wild card. And I will use the bench boost with a view to bench boosting in 37. So that's one of the key strategies to deal with this time. Other people are wildcarding now. Other people are not free hitting in 29. And it all depends on your team. There's no right or wrong. It's just what's best for your team. Best for my team, free hit 29. Use wildcard after 34, probably.
Yep, fair enough. It's very interesting because I'm also looking to free hit in 29. I've got a few more extra players than you, so I could get to like 7 without hits. But at the same time, I'm like, I'm in a situation where I'm trying to chase down a mini league as well. And the mini league leader has set his team up for non-free hit. So I'm like, even if I was to get to like 9 players, I'll have to take a minus 8. And that's on top of like not having 2 extra players as well. So I'm in a situation where I go, I could use like that minus 8 plus 2 extra players. And also knowing what my mini league leader will have as a team. And then be able to like, because I need to make a few differential gains as well. So this is one of those weeks where I'm going, I can kind of predict his team, but he can't predict mine when I'm on a free hit. This is where I can make calculated risk and see whether I can gain from that as well, is what I'm thinking. So I'm free hit 29. Now, wild card for me personally, I haven't decided when. It could be 31, but I'm also toying with the idea of the 35 wild card. So you dead end in 34, 35 wild card, bench boost in 37. And it, usually when you, there's the whole concept of play your bench boost as close to your wild card as possible, because you can maximize both chips and also you're not having too much money on that bench for a long time as well. Compared to maybe playing it wild card 31, bench boost 37, anything can go wrong within that time space as well in terms of injuries. You have money also stored on the bench, not easy to predict. So I'm still toying with the idea of when to wildcard, and I think the FA Cup results might have an impact on when I do, because if an unexpected injury or unexpected result happens, it could change like the whole landscape of FPL as well in terms of when the doubles can happen for 34 and 37 as well. So open on that, but free hit 29 at the moment. Now, having said that, you've got Solanke and Doty and you're looking to bring in an extra player. I've got Solanke and Doty as well, but you've got two free transfers. I've got only one free. So I did the KDB to Sun as well, similar to you. Now, I'm in a situation where I'm uncertain on that defensive. Do I want to go for the defense for a hit or not? But I think we'll get to that at the end. So let's start with the first double fixture in terms of Bournemouth, and I'll bring up the fixture ticker as well. But later we'll bring up like a table that you've sent over to me with regards to Bournemouth and Luton players, and that hopefully will be useful for the viewers as well. So let's go into Bournemouth versus Sheffield United. Now, they didn't look great against Burnley last week, and I guess to make matters worse, the most appealing defender from Bournemouth in Senesi also went off injured. Meanwhile, their opponents in Sheffield United are just a complete mess. You currently have Solanke in your team. You already mentioned in terms of adding an extra Bournemouth player. For those looking to add, where would you like recommend going?
Well, once again, it depends on what your strategy is, and it depends what chips you're using. So for me, my strategy is I want Salah in game week 30. I've got some money in the bank, but not enough. So I need to free up money. So Van Dijk to a double game week defender who's 2 million or so. Now other people might have Trippier, and Trippier is going into game week 28 as an injury doubt. Could be for a bit longer, who knows? But anyway, he's a player that you might want when Newcastle's fixtures get much better after the double. But you might not want now. So you might be looking, you can downgrade then. So you can free up 2 million or so by getting in a Bournemouth and Luton defender. And which ones you get, it's going to depend on when you're free hitting, I think. The way it works out, because of the fixtures, so a Luton play Nottingham Forest in game week 29. So if you're not free hitting, it's probably worth your while getting a Luton player in, because out of most other teams in 29, they're not playing. So already you're getting three fixtures to most teams one. So immediately you're getting those good returns there. So you'd be looking to target a Luton player, I think. So, you know, up front, Morris, in midfield, Barkley, and at the back, Alfie Doughty, if you don't have any of those already. If you are free hitting, then it doesn't matter. So then you can target Bournemouth. Because because Bournemouth miss a fixture 29, so it doesn't matter. You've got them for their great double, Sheffield United against and Luton. And then they emerge in game week 30 with Everton at home, Crystal Palace at home, good fixtures. So whichever Bournemouth player you get in, you can field after the double, after you free hit. So that's where it is, really. So I guess the simple answer is, if you're free hitting, target Bournemouth. And if you're not free hitting, target Luton. And that spreads across there. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, one of the things that's starting to emerge this week is people are looking at Haaland and they're thinking, okay, he's got one fixture. He's away to Liverpool. Solanke, Morris in particular. So if you're not free hitting, getting rid of Haaland for Morris is not actually as crazy as that sounds, because you're getting three for one fixtures. And you might have Solanke already. So you've got Solanke and Morris, the two key strikers for the double game week in place. And Morris, you can play in 29. But if you are free hitting, you can keep Haaland because you're only getting two fixtures of Morris against one of Haaland. And then you've still got Haaland and you've got Haaland in place. You don't have to worry about him in game week 30. And you can focus your transfers elsewhere. So in my case, I'm going to keep Haaland because in game week 30, I want to focus on getting Salah in. But if I haven't got Haaland as well, then I've got to think, I've got to try and get Haaland back in game week 31. Can I afford that? And then you start getting the territory where a wild card might be needed to sort of juggle those funds. So yeah, there's a lot of strategy to think about, weirdly, about which Bournemouth and Luton player you get in. So there's a hell of a lot to consider at the moment. But my top choices would be, for Luton, as I said, it would be Morris in attack, Barkley midfield, Doughty at the back. And with Bournemouth, I wouldn't touch their midfield. I would just think Solanke and a defender. you can take a risk. Well, I mean, I'm sure we might. I don't know if you'll put up the table up.
Yes, I bought it.
Oh, great stuff. Yep. So you can see here on this table, it's sorted by minutes per expected goal involvement, non-penalty. And I've just kept in there because it's so rubbish. You know, some of them are well over 1,000. You can wait 1,000 minutes for a goal involvement. That's a long time. You can see here that Solanke's good. Kluivert's not getting the starts, but when he does play, he's okay. So he could be a good he could be a gamble. I think if you're gambling on that, but as I said, it all depends on the free hit, whether you're free hitting or not. If you are free hitting, yeah, you can probably take a gamble on a Bournemouth player. But remember, you're going to have them in game week 30. The more you load up on these guys, the more you've got them for 29 or 30, depending on when you're free hitting. So I think Morris is good because, you know, he will start up front. Barkley is good because he's so involved. But once again, his minutes per expected goal involvement every 238 minutes. That's a lot. That's, you know, maybe every three matches he'll get a goal involvement. He just looks good on the eye. He looks like he controls the midfield. But sometimes those sort of Modric Spurs, if those people remember when he was there, he was always the best player on the pitch by miles. But FPL returns were limited. He might get you an assist. So I would just go for Solanke and Alfie Doughty is worth a mention. Defender, but when he plays wing back, you know, he's had 17, he's created 17 chances, you know, over his last six matches. This is really huge for a 4.7 or however much he is now defender. But the Bournemouth defender I'm targeting, because it just works, as I said, it works with my budget, is either Kerkez or Zabanié. They're 4.4. That means I don't have to panic with money. I can still get Salah in game 30 with that. Their minutes per expected goal involvement is obscenely rubbish. So I wouldn't even, don't even, if you've got a dream of a haul from any of these players, forget it. I'm crushing those dreams. But what you might get is a clean sheet, maybe even two. It'd be rare to get a bonus, but you might get a bonus as well. Zabanié is totally nailed on. So he's at the back. He's just there. He might get you clean sheet points. And Kerkez is interesting. He's playing left back, but Lloyd Kelly usually plays as injured, but he might be back. But even if Lloyd Kelly is back, as you said, Senesi is out. Yep. So Lloyd Kelly could replace him as centre back, in which case Kerkez is safe. There are risks though, but I think, If Lloyd Kelly is definitely out next week, definitely, then I'd be tempted by Kerkez because there's a slight hint of a dream of an attacking return. But with Zabanié, there's no hint of a dream there. But they're the ones I would go for, really. But yeah, there'll be double game week fever. It always happens. And then the week after, people go, oh, no, my team is really rubbish for the Luton players, which seems good this week, but maybe not next.
Yeah, because I think, like, if you're not free hitting this, like, in 29, and you're loading up on those Luton players, you're definitely hitting that wildcard button come 30-31.
Yeah,
whether you like it or not, you're going to look at your team and go, like, how did I end up in this position? And you're like, mash that wildcard button, and you're going to get back the players you kind of want to get in. Whereas when you're free hitting, like the two of us are doing, we kind of own those big players that we want going forward.
Yeah.
But we're not going to load up too much on Luton. Now, the thing is, this week is such a... I don't know even how to explain this double. It's like a very unimpressive double. Because, like, Bournemouth have amazing fixtures, but their players aren't as amazingly impressive. Luton, the fixtures aren't as good as Bournemouth, but the Luton attack is a bit more impressive than Bournemouth's attack at this point. And I guess it's like, you kind of have to compare your double Luton in terms of midfield, or even double Bournemouth in terms of midfield versus a single game, because this week we have some impressive fixtures. Saka is against Brentford, Bowen is against Burnley, Foden could still do well against Liverpool. And then you've got some Sun against Aston Villa, and I think that's like a very high predicted goal scoring game in that specific one as well. So you've got some amazing single gaming players, Palmer against Danburn and Newcastle. So there are a few good single gaming players, which is why I'll probably get to it later in terms of like, is it worth going for a single gaming player over even a double gaming player?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm getting Son in. And you got one fixture, but he's Son. And there's certain players that are elite players. Son, Salah, Haaland, Foden now, I would say. Saka. You know, they're better than the average player. You know, their expected goal, you know, these expected goal involvement per minutes, every 1,000 minutes is rubbish. But with you know, Haaland, you're getting like every 90 minutes or so. So you're getting a goal involvement a match. So that's a bit more like it. So that's what you're dealing with. But yeah, I mean, that's why it's sort of a policy I have anyway in FPL, is to sort of treat everything in sort of moderation. So you have a little bit of a team. Sometimes I do triple up on players. I haven't looked at my, I don't think I've tripled up at the moment, but I have done recently. I've had Liverpool triple up. I've had Arsenal triple up at times. I have got a City triple up currently. Yeah. Currently, I'm looking to sort of divest in that. And so I'm going to get... I want to get like little bits of them. So as I said, with Bournemouth and Luton, I don't want to arrive in game week 30 and look at my team and go, I've got a triple Luton, I've got triple Bournemouth. You know, and I perhaps don't want that, but I wouldn't mind a bit of them. And Alfie Doughty's a player I got him. God knows when, it was just 84. In some point in January, quite early on. And, he was very, very low owned then. So if I did field him, in those weeks, you get a huge rank rise. And so he's a player I would say you can keep, because even in the tough fixture, especially at home, Luton are great at home. You know, he's on all these set pieces. His delivery is fantastic. So he's a great player to have. Solanke you can have all the time as well. And so I've stuck with those two. And the Bournemouth defender is just sort of there for clean sheet. He's really there just to...
It's only a kick. A jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
He's just part of my Salah. I look at a Bournemouth defender and all I see is Salah. It's just Salah money.
Yep, fair enough. Fair enough. Okay, let me get to, while we're on this slide, between Bournemouth and Luton, I want to compare Morris and Solanke. Now, for those who don't have either, where would you stand? Who would you go for? Again, is that like chips? Chip strategy. Let's say they're not free hitting in 29.
Okay. Yeah. So if you're not free hitting in 29, definitely get Morris, because Morris plays in 29 and he's good. And he plays Nottingham Forest in 29. So definitely get him, but not at the expense of Solanke. I would get both. I think the best would be to have Morris and Solanke in place. And who you captain, I would still say Solanke, because he's got the better fixtures, the better player. But I mean, you could go for Morris. Also, he's just, I mean, effective ownership is going to be huge. It's going to get on for nearly 200%, I would say. because of all the people captaining him and triple captaining him as well. So I would say both of those. But if you are not, if you are free hitting, then you're probably looking at Haaland to Morris, and it goes back to that move as well. You don't need to get Morris, basically. You could do. The other thing, if you're not free hitting in 29 and you've got Morris and Solanke, you can ditch. Although I would say game week 30 to 33, he's got great fixtures, Everton, Crystal Palace, Manchester United at home. But I would also say Solanke can easily be moved. Well, not easily, depends. They're very broadly similarly priced to Tony, for example. And Tony could be a good asset to have in 29. You can easily just do that in one move. Maybe you don't have Watkins. Well, you can just get Watkins in for Solanke. There is a bit of difference. Depends how much money you got in the bank. But you can do that strategy. So it's less about the player. But, you know, looking at the stats, Solanke is a minutes per expected goal involvement, non-penalties, last six matches. Bear in mind, Solanke and Morris are on penalties. This is non-penalties every 127 minutes. He's had two assists and two goals in that time. 50% of Bournemouth's, I think it's 49% to be accurate, Bournemouth's goals he's involved in. Meanwhile, Morris is not as good. It's a minutes per expected goal involvement, non-penalty every 232 minutes. Still got two assists and got four goals. So his output there, but he's overperforming by at least two goal involvements. Whereas Solanke's sort of what he should be. He's sort of on course, which is what a lot of the sort of accurate strikers. So Solanke's not shooting unnecessarily. I'm not saying Morris is. I'm just saying that the chances he gets, he's sort of overperforming what he should be doing. But yeah, I mean, the answer is probably both. If you're not free hitting, you don't need Morris if you are free hitting.
Yep. Okay. Fair enough. All right. Then I'll bring down the table and we'll switch it back to the fixture ticker. And let's go to the big game of the week, which is Liverpool take on Manchester City. Now, there are many managers with the front line of Haaland, Watkins and Tony as well. And again, this is again back to like, if they're not free hitting in 29, they kind of have a decision to make on who should they sell in terms of a Haaland, or should they probably even look at maybe selling Tony, who plays Arsenal this week? Where do you exactly stand on this? And also, the next one is, how do you see this game going?
Okay, well, yeah. This goes back to the free hit question. So if you are free hitting, you can keep Haaland.
Yeah.
So you can have Haaland, Watkins, Solanke. If you're not free hitting, then you can get rid of Haaland. Mm. He can be jettisoned. So he's not the top one to get. So the decision to make to sell Haaland is based around the chips, I would say. So that's where I stand on it, really. It's no opinion. It's just simply sort of which strategy you're following there. And where do I see that game going? Well, obviously that is a completely separate question. Looking at in terms of best attacks and worst and best defenses, I mean, this is a real immovable object meets an unstoppable force. These are two absolutely brilliant attacks with two pretty good defenses as well. So in terms of best attack, this is across all season. Liverpool scored 64 goals and they was expected to score 60. They're absolutely top for expected goals scored of 60. So they're doing pretty well. Arsenal are next with 56 and then Manchester City are next with 56. This is an expected goals scored. Arsenal, in fact, scored 68 and City of 62. So these are the three best. So Liverpool against City, you've got two of the three best attacks against each other. But then when you look at the worst defences, or rather, in their case, the best defences, Arsenal are the best. They're absolutely in a league of their own.
Yeah.
That's why like everyone's... That's
300 minutes plus in the last six games, because it's insane.
A lot of people are doubling up on their defense for good reason. Their expected goals conceded for the entire season is 18, and they've got 11 clean sheets, and they've in fact conceded 23 goals. Now, in comparison, Luton, who are a key team in the double game week, have conceded 54 goals, and that's what their expected goals conceded was. Well, and they've got just two clean sheets the whole season. So that's the difference there. You got Arsenal with their 18 expected goals conceded. Luton with 54. Bearing in mind Sheffield United as well. They've expected goals conceded is 54 as well. So meanwhile, Liverpool, then you've got sort of the also-rans. Manchester City expected goals conceded is 25. So not as good as Arsenal. And then Liverpool, another step down again, 33. But they have got 9 clean sheets. So you've got Manchester City and Liverpool. You've got the two of the three best defences in the league against two of the three best attacks in the league. So how, that's a really long way of saying, how's that going to go? Well, it would be a brave man to predict that score line. That has all the hallmarks as it could be 1-1.
Yep.
It also has all the hallmarks of an absolute 4-4, 4-3 thriller. And it all depends on defensive mistakes, because on the whole, their defense is good, but their attacks are absolutely elite. If Salah's playing, Liverpool attack, elite, elite, elite. Mm. Same with Manchester City. If Haaland's there, Foden and KDB were benched, by the way, during in Europe. So they'll be up front. They'll be supplying Haaland. That's elite. So you've got these two elite attacks going against two okay defences. So for me, I've got Triple City. KDB can go, can get Son in. I'm happy to play Foden and Haaland. So those thinking, oh, I've got to get rid of Haaland for Morris, think about whether you're using a free hit chip or not. But also the other consideration is, it's Haaland.
Yeah.
I know he's away against Liverpool, but I actually think the Arsenal game is trickier for the Man City attack. Because, I mean, Arsenal's defence are in an absolute league of their own. Whereas Liverpool and Man City are broadly similar. But it's Arsenal are the absolute elite, of the most elite in terms of defence. So, yeah, it's a potentially tough call, but I think your chip strategy should do that. And bear in mind, it's Haaland.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, like, the game, I think the other thing to consider is, like, this Liverpool team, they do have a few injuries to consider as well. It's a Trent, we don't know what the status. Alisson is still not back. I think Alisson, in general, like, made Liverpool a much more stronger defence compared to Kelleher. That also kind of plays into City's attacking options. Now, if Salah is still not fit for this game, that does give City an advantage, I would say. But then again, it is Liverpool at home at Anfield, so anything can happen. So that's one of the reasons where I look and go, a lot of managers are looking at selling Haaland this week. This might be the week I have him as a differential.
Yeah.
I'm just going to hold him and keep him, and he could go crazy. Now, he hasn't done that recently in the league. He hasn't gone as, like, he's been underperforming he's been missing key chances, but he's been getting those chances. Now, this might be the game he cashes in on all of that, or he just gets, like, one again and just, like, yeah, okay, it is what it is.
So, I mean, the way I look at it, I look at things in terms of floors and ceilings of players and worst and best case scenarios. The worst case scenario for me as a Haaland holder is that he blanks and I've still got him in place for game week 30 against Arsenal, which is trickier, I think.
Yep.
And he's still there for game week 31. So I don't have to worry about that transfer. That's the worst case scenario. The best case scenario is he scores as a relative differential in 28, a free hit 29, doesn't matter. Game week 30, he actually scores against Arsenal. So that's the best case scenario, is that you actually get some returns out of him while other people are scrabbling to work out how they're going to get him back in.
Yep, agreed. All right, now we'll move over to West Ham, who take on Burnley. Now, probably a good fixture for those who have Bowen or Kudus this week. And also, one of the reasons I haven't thought about getting Neto in this week, since I've got Areola in goal, so it kind of doesn't make sense to go and get Neto for the moment. Between Bowen and Kudus, do we think it's a flip of a coin, or is there, like, one definitely better than the other?
No, Bowen's better. Bowen's better. He's the guy that scores. Kudus is the guy that assists. That's the bait. I think for a free hit on 29, I might end up with both. Although it is tough. I mean, I'm in contention. I'll probably get Bowen. I might get both. But I think, obviously, it could depend on money. Kudus is cheaper than Bowen, but I would go for them. But I do think a West Ham attacker is advantageous. And I'll be going into this game without So Burnley are definitely a team to target. In terms of worst defences, they're the fourth worst all season. They're expected to have conceded 48 goals, getting on for 49. They've only had kept two clean sheets. They've in fact conceded 60 goals this season. Meanwhile, in terms of attack, you know, West Ham are not the greatest, but they've got Bowen and they've got Kudos. Their goals is they've scored 43 and their expected goals is 37 so far this season, which places them sort of lower mid table. If you're looking at expected goals conceded. So I do think that's a good game to go for an attacker. It's actually a really good game to go for a West Ham defender, which is why I'm fielding Areola this week. So I'm not looking at like, a Luton or Bournemouth goalkeeper. I'm looking at Areola because the second worst attack all this season is Burnley. Only Sheffield United are worse. Mm. Burnley's expected goals is just 25. Bear in mind, Liverpool's expected goals is 60. So that's the big difference there. So they're one of the absolute worst. So the way we should look at this now really is Burnley and Sheffield United are really bad. And there's a few other teams, including Luton, Nottingham Forest, Everton, who are in the mix to also go down. But we need to look at Burnley and Sheffield United as championship sides now. They're stuck in the Premier League and they're not of a quality. So we can really target them. So yeah, I think West Ham attack is good. West Ham defence is very good. Burnley, I wouldn't bother with.
Yep, fair enough. All right. Let's move over to your team, Brighton, who take on Forest this week. And it's, but they have a very key match in Europe as well, which kind of has an impact on whether Bournemouth also double in 34 or not, according to Ben Crelly, in terms of probabilities. Yeah. But we won't get into that. What we'll get into is a lot of managers this week have Estupinan and Pascal Gross in their teams. And with the European fixture on either sides of the Forest fixture, do we expect rotation to hit the team? And if so, how would you approach this Forest fixture if you had like these players?
Okay, so, I mean, there are better players this week because there's players doubling. And so you can move them on. It's different for different ones. So the last rotation against Fulham before this game was with this game in mind and because of various injuries. So that's why Estupinan played. So he's still very much a sort of the B team player. Now he's not fitting into the current style, and Brighton having to adapt to the fact Matoma's not there. He's out for the season. March has been out all season. Well, they've only really got a Dinger as a quality winger, really. So they're playing more with wing backs, and they're more, and so a Dinger, Fatty, some of these players, they're sort of being asked more, playing more centrally in a way, or sort of coming in, inverted wingers if you want to call them. But so there's a different style of play, and Estupinan doesn't fit into that. So Estupinan can be jettisoned. Pascal Gross will play. I think it was just a niggling injury or something. He was just basically being protected for this Roma game, which is absolutely huge, which is tonight. And so I think Pascal Gross is a keep. I think he could get an assist or a goal against Nottingham Forest. I will have to say, though, couple of times we played Nottingham Forest, I think it was a draw in De Zerbi's first game, 0-0 at Brighton. And away, I think we got hammered because I think we didn't rotate and he should have done. It was around a really busy time. If people can remember last season, Brighton had a lot of postponements due to cup involvement and various other things. Their match with Crystal Palace was had to be postponed as well because of there was a rail strike in the UK. And Brighton and Crystal Palace are notorious rivals and you need a lot of police presence. And anyway, it just wasn't going to happen. So they had a lot to rearrange. And so it was getting a bit messy with the players, and you needed to rotate a bit more, and he didn't rotate then. And arguably he should have done. De Zerbi, this is the manager. So I actually think there could be more rotation against Nottingham Forest, because the Roma game's so important and they're obviously going to need to rotate to sort of with the second leg in mind and these types of things. But I don't think Pascal Gross is one of them. I think Pascal Gross is really integral to how they play. I think he'll be needed. I think pretty much, hardly anyone is safe apart from Luke Dunk and Pascal Gross usually, but that's not to say Pascal Gross, as we've seen, won't be protected.
Week. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, the simple answer is there are better players for better teams for this week. That's in FPL terms, not real life. Pascal Gross, obviously the best player Premier League has ever seen.
Indeed. At this point, he gets an assist against Max Bonus as well because of how involved he is.
Because he's everywhere. He does everything. If you watch the game, it's like, it's one of those, like I used the example of Modric earlier. It's one of those players that's really good. He's just involved in everything. Like, you know, when you watch Man City play Rodri, he's just pass, just controls everything.
It's like it's a 6-point assist at this point.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Now, the last fixture for this week is Chelsea versus Newcastle that I want to talk about. More because the fact that both of these teams post Game Week 29 have a good run of fixtures and doubles and coming in. I'm also in a slightly tough situation. So I'm going to ask a slightly team related question as well with regards to mine. So I've got a defense this week of Doherty and Gabriel who will start. And then it's a third defensive slot. I've got Pedro Porro, Branthwaite and Reguilón. So I'm in a situation where I don't know if Porro is fit or not. We might get information in terms of that related to from Ange and press conference. But ideally, I don't want to start either one of them. So I've been thinking of trying to keep my wildcard open as well, whether to delay it slightly. And I'm looking at Gusto this week. Now, 4.2 could help me to free up funds. Now, if Porro is not fit, I'm wondering whether I should do for a hit. Would I do Porro to Gusto or maybe Porro to a Bournemouth defender who doesn't have much upside?
I was just going to say, you're free hitting in 29.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm free hitting 29. So the idea is to try and look at this week and also 30 and slightly going forward. Now, both of them, even Bournemouth and Chelsea, have some decent fixtures going forward as well in terms of doubles and whatnot. What would you recommend?
If it's for a hit, if it's for a hit, I would look for just long term. And so your Gusto move is probably accurate because James won't be back. So Gusto will play and he's looking good. You can get attacking returns from him as well as clean sheet potential. Newcastle is probably the toughest of the games coming up, but nevertheless, it's at home to Newcastle. Newcastle are less good away. And then you emerge with Gusto from your free hit in game week 30 with Burnley at home. Great. Manchester United at home. Great. Sheffield United away. Great. Everton at home. Great. So long term, I think you're looking at clean sheets and assists somewhere along the lines there. So that minus four would pay off. I think from your point of view, I would just think long term, really, what you want to emerge with in game week 30. Because if you're free hitting, you don't have to worry about it. If you're not free hitting, you've got to think about those sorts of players. So Porro, Reguilón, you're not going to get rid of them because you need them in 29. But you've got the advantage, the luxury of you can make that move.
Yeah.
But by the same token, exactly the same sort of ideal that's going on in, say, midfield.
Yes.
And so I would say, if you don't have Palmer, probably Palmer. Like, I'm getting Son in for KDB, but I've already got Palmer. But if I didn't have Palmer, I'd probably prioritise Palmer above everyone because Newcastle at home is a good fixture. He's on penalties. Then he's got that lovely run starting with Burnley, game week 30, when you definitely want him. And so a hit for Palmer in, despite all these double game week players, actually is probably a really good move, I think. So the same token would apply, and it's, I would probably do that. I would probably target Chelsea. Quite wise to look at game week 30 onwards, but only those in your position with a free hit. Otherwise, you've got to go for the likes of Reguilón and Porro.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because if you're not free hitting, then you kind of have to go for those who are playing in 29. But it's because of the free hit where I can go, okay, do I now? Then I'm comparing a double game week Bournemouth that has less upside over, Gusto could probably lose his clean sheet, but also tends to have slightly higher upside than what a Bournemouth defender could potentially have, I would say.
Also, it's worth mentioning, so Chelsea are the 8th best defence in terms of expected goals conceded. So in the top half, and they've kept 5 clean sheets. They've conceded 43 goals. Bearing in mind, Sheffield United have conceded 72 and Luton 54. So they've conceded more than the expected goals conceded is 40. They've conceded 43. So they've been marginally unlucky and they had 5 clean sheets. So in good fixtures, clean sheet from Gusto is not out of the question. And I think he is nailed. I think Chelsea fans will better answer that better. But I think while Reece James is out, he's fairly certain of starts,
yeah.
I would say.
Yep, fair enough. And even though Reece James comes back, I feel like they'll be very careful in terms of how they like ease him back in as well.
Look, forget Reece James.
Yeah.
Even if he's back, it won't last more than half a match.
Fair enough. All right. So that kind of answers the Gusto and also for Palmer, for those who are looking at Palmer as well as an option this week. So let's end it with captaincy. Solanke, probably the best captaincy option this week. Or I guess Morris as another option, maybe. Saka.
Yeah, no. So this is all about where you are in your mini leagues, where you are in the overall rankings. For a start, double game week, I'm not of the school of thought to go, oh, captain a single game week player. You've got a double game week, players playing twice, you have to captain. And in Bournemouth and Luton's case, they've both got really great fixtures. So if you're like me, I'm 50K in the ranks, I'm not taking any chances. I don't have a triple captaincy left. I'm just going to captain Solanke. I think he is the best captain. But I also think in terms of effective ownership, so that's including his captaincy factored in, he's going to be very, very well owned. Most who own him will captain him. Most who've got a triple captain chip left will use it on him. So you could be looking at 180, 190, 200% owned. It just makes sense to do that. But if you're chasing, down a mini league leader who you know is captaining Solanke, and you want to think, well, I'm just going to sort of bet that Solanke's not the best and he's going to blank because he has performed better away. But is that because Bournemouth haven't had such good fixtures at home? I think possibly the latter. And I think if you're chasing, then Morris is a good option. I actually, in double game weeks, I actually think that defenders and potentially goalkeepers are really good. I remember a classic season. This is back when Aguero was with Man City and they had a double game week and so did Stoke. Everyone obviously captained Aguero. I think he got 7 points. I remember that because I got triple captaincy out of him, 21 points. And then the highest scorers that week, it was Stoke defenders. It was the Stoke goalkeeper because they got a clean sheet and they racked up some bonus. There was a goal from the back, something like that. And these are the sorts of players. So I think Alfie Doughty's a really good shout, actually, as an alternative. Because you're not talking like Haaland in a double game, but you're talking Solanke.
Yeah.
So you can bet against it. And I think Alfie Doughty is quite a good option because of just the level of assists.
Yep.
But I probably wouldn't go elsewhere for Bournemouth. And as I said with Ross Barkley, whilst he may look the best player, I don't know in FPL terms who is best. So I would go top Solanke, second Morris, especially if you're chasing. Third, if you're an absolute devil-may-care maverick, Alfie Doughty.
Fair enough. All right, before we leave, we do have some community questions. One was from FPL Roo, and he asked whether Estupinian is second choice. I guess we kind of answered that at the moment.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes, he is currently at the moment. Yeah, that's not to say he... Because of the Roma game this week... He may actually play against Nottingham Forest, but that probably indicates that he's second choice, if you see what I mean.
Yep, fair enough. So keep an eye out for that Roma, I guess, the lineup in that fixture as well. Next one is for Mike Kamen fan, Matt, and he's asking, is it worthwhile to bring in Neto or Kaminsky for free and bench Areola?
No. But it also goes back to a common theme, whether you're free hitting or not.
Yeah.
If you are minded to do that and if you're free hitting, go for Bournemouth.
Yep.
Because it doesn't matter what you're doing. And if you're not free hitting, go for Luton because you can get more. You need to get those games out of the Luton goalkeeper. But Areola's probably the best goalkeeper this week. So you're saying should I remove the best goalkeeper for not the best goalkeeper, even though they have two fixtures?
Yeah, I'm guessing he's not free team because he mentioned Kaminski as well. But then again, Areola also plays in 29 at the same time. So
Exactly. So nothing points to getting rid of Areola or in any way benching him this week.
Yep. Fair enough. Okay, so that's basically all we have. Thank you, okay, Joe, for your time today. Do you have anything to plug?
I'm working for Fantasy Football Scouts. I will plug some of the other videos and the other podcasts that we do here. So in addition to this one, we've also got the one specifically I'm involved in is I host the FPL General show on a Monday at the moment, and where he reveals his team and his thoughts for the game week. I do a Goals Imminent show where I do that with the deputy editor, Tom, at Fantasy Football Scout, where we look at the tables and try and sort of predict who's due a haul, and with a specific on under the radar options. So we're looking at those who are sort of got the underlying stats but haven't registered on people's radar because they're not getting the goals and assists just yet. So we're looking at them. I do a team reveal video with Tom as well, and I do the team news video that's on Friday, and that's with Neil. And there's I also have a look at, I'm doing quite a few videos at the moment, the FPL pundits, which is all, yes, those in the great and the good league at Fantasy Football Scout. So it's all the sorts of video and podcast hosts and elite managers, people who've got multiple strong finishes, and it's looking at sort of trying to second guess their next moves, looking at their template, who they're going for and what they might do next. So we do that show as well, but it's all on the Fantasy Football Scout channel, and do have a look at that. And do, if you're not subscribing already, do press that subscribe button. And also if you're listening to this on any podcast, just do the same with Apple or whatever. Just press that subscribe, so you'll get up to date with all of those videos I've just mentioned. More besides, you've got deadline dilemmas, burning questions, all these sorts of things. The Scout Cast as well on a Monday, in addition to this. So that's the only thing, that's what I'll plug at the moment. And obviously people can follow me on X at FFScout_Joe, J-O-E.
Yep. And you can also find me for Bacha Bags on YouTube, where I do weekly videos and deadline streams. And if you reached up to this point, as Joe said, make sure you hit the like button, subscribe, and comment in the video as well. Are you free hitting in 29? Are you playing a wild card in 28? Let us know in the comments. And that's it for this week's Scout the Game Week. I'll be back after game week 28 and looking ahead to game week 29. Green Aerosol.